Right. We start the sugya now of the Toldos of Shem V'Regel. Before we start, I'd like to discuss the concept, which when we get to the Gemara, you'll see why I'm mentioning it in this sugya. But I'd like to discuss with you a shaila, the following shaila. We all know that the siman of Karen is that's Mishuna. That's the attribute of the characteristic of the midah, of the mazik of Karen. We know that the mazik of Regel is that it's matzui, that it's normal. And Shein also is normal because Shein is something lahana, so which is also normal by an animal. So basically, by animals, something which is normal is either Shein or a Regel, and something which is abnormal is Karen. Shaila is, once we've been in a case where the whole matziv is an abnormal matziv, the whole situation is not normal. A davar mishuna happened for a certain situation to have happened. But once the situation happened, in that matziv, the way the animal behaved, the way it was mazik, is normal, is orche. You follow? I'll give you a few examples, but again, the shaila is, where do you determine if something is mishuna, or if something is orche? Do you look at the whole matziv, the whole circumstances? If the circumstances are mishuna, is that enough to make it karen? Or, do you just look at the hezik itself? Now the best case that I could think of that's an example of this is a Gemara later on Yudches Amud Beis. Gemara Yudches talks about a case where a chicken stuck its head into a bottle. It got a bottle over its head, and chickens don't have hands to take the bottles off the head. So the chicken tokatz, from Rashi, it means it screamed and it shattered the bottle. It broke the bottle by singing a high pitched note, and it broke the bottle. That's the Gemara's case. Now, the question is that Karen, or is it Rega? You see, the shaila is the shaila that I set up. The matzav is a mishuna dika matziv. It's not normal for chickens to get their head stuck in bottles. It's an abnormal thing. But once chickens get their head stuck in bottles, that's how they get out of it. They scream. I don't know how they know that's the way you get. I don't know if chickens, their mothers teach them these things a lot. How do chickens know this? I don't know. But somehow the chicken is a derfer to scream. And how do you know? That could be. Whatever it is, it's normal. Whatever their motivation is, chickens don't have to do things l'shem matzah mitzvah. What it did is a normal thing. But the matzah of sticking its head into the bottle is abnormal. So the nidah that we're clearing, this is a clear of an Or Sameach. The Or Sameach is in Hilchos Niske Mamin, Perek Beis Halachetes. When a circumstance comes about because of a matzav that's strange, but what the behemoth did, what the tarnagol did, is normal for a tarnagol to do. So that's a good question. How do I know it's normal for a chicken to scream if it gets its head stuck? I never experimented. So I'll tell you how I know. I'll tell you what the Gemara says. Gemara says that time ago that stuck its head into a kli schuchis. Time ago shaheshit roishai lavir kli schuchis. V'toka boi v'shav roi mishal nezik shal. The Gemara says it's regel. The Gemara asks on the top of your test, HaMishonahu. Gemara says, why is it regel? It's Mishona. For an animal to get its head into a bottle, it's a davar Mishona. The Gemara answers, to Ispe Bizrani, that this bottle had seeds in it. And chickens like seeds. So this is already normal. For an animal, for a chicken to stick its head into a bottle that has seeds in it, is normal. Now clearly, once its head is in, it's normal for it to scream. If the screaming would be abnormal, then what's the Gemara's teretz? Gemara's teretz is, it got its head stuck in because there were seeds. But that wasn't a kasha. The kasha was that screaming is mishona, the breaking is mishona. So it seems clear from the Gemara's teretz, pashup shat in the Gemara, that once its head is stuck in a bottle for it to scream, that's normal. The question was, what's a chicken doing with its head in a bottle? HaMishonahu. So Gemara says, if there's a little bit of seeds there, if there's something to be gained, then chickens stick their head in. So it's normal. So what comes out of this Gemara? The Gemara said there are two types of chickens, of cases where chickens have their heads in bottles. There's the case with the seeds, which is regel, because it's orchei. And by understanding the Gemara's kasha, we realize that if there were no bizrani, if there were no seeds, then if it stuck its head in a bottle and it screamed to get out, it would be keren. That seems to be what comes out pashup shat in that Gemara. So the Gemara there is saying that if you have a non-seeds bottle, a bottle with nothing in it, a chicken sticks its head in, and then once the head is stuck, it screams, that is Mishona, that's Karen, that's Chatzin Nezek. So the Chayra, that Gemara, like Dr. Samash, should be patient this Chakira, that, how we come out, if the circumstances are Mishona, but once you're in a certain matziv, it's normal. From here we see, you look at, play it out in your mind, what do we see from this Gemara? That if the circumstances are unusual, if there were no seeds in the bottle, the circumstances are Mishona, but once it's in the circumstance, the screaming is normal. Gemara is saying that that would be Karen. So the Chayra, we have learned here a Chiddush, that to decide which mazik something is, you look at the whole matzav, the whole circumstances, not just at the hezek. Even though the hezek was normal, once the head is stuck inside, it's normal for it to scream. But since the circumstances are mishona, we determine which mazik it is, we look at the whole circumstances that set up the hezek. This should be a raya to our, what we're trying to tell the back of your side, that you look at the whole matziv when you look at it. Everyone's masking that it's a good raya. Pashtos, it's often the Gemara. It's a good raya from that Gemara. We'll talk about two more Gemaras, and then we'll see our sugya. Okay? There are two more similar Gemaras. Maybe you could find chilukim, but let's see. So that's one Gemara. That's, I think, the best Gemara for this Shaila. The ones that I've seen, it's the best one is the case of the chicken with the bottle, which the Gemara says it's Mishona. We could clear, maybe it's normal for chickens to get their head stuck in bottles. But the Gemara says, Ho Mishonahu. The Gemara says, if it's an empty bottle, it's Mishona. And the Gemara says it's Karen if there are no seeds inside. Okay, case number two. On Daf Tes Vav, on the days, there's another Gemara, second Gemara. This Gemara, I mentioned to you once before, the Gemara has a case of Kalba da Achla Imra. A dog ate a sheep. Now, for dogs to eat meat is perfectly normal. For dogs to kill living sheep is abnormal, is mishona. So Gemara is a case, kalba da achla imra. A dog attacked and ate a living sheep. It obviously killed it and ate it. So the Gemara says that that's keren. Gemara says it's keren. And that's how the Rambam paskins. Kalba da achla imra. Shalom chatzinez. Zabda Rosh. Rush says, one minute. Let's look at the story here. Kalbadach le'imra, what happened? Two things happened. The dog jumped on the sheep and killed it. That's the first thing that happened. And then, after the dog killed the sheep, it ate the lamb chops, right? It ate the whatever meat there was. Zabda Rosh, you got to split it. You have to split what you pay by Kalbadach Le'imra. Listen carefully. First, the dog killed the sheep. On that, how much do you pay for the death of the sheep? Chatzi Nezek. That's not normal. Now, the sheep is still worth something. A living sheep is worth a certain amount, and the Vela is still worth something. You can sell it to Goyim, you can sell it to the Michael Bain. Then, the dog went, and it ate, consumed the meat of the carcass of the animal. On that, that's normal for the dog to eat the dead sheep. On that, Zabda Rosh, you pay Nezek Shalim. You have to split it. You have to, for the dog killing the animal, is taken that normal. Dogs don't kill living sheep. So the dog killing the animal, you pay Chatzi Nezek. Afterwards, when the dog consumed the meat, Zabda Rosh, and that you pay Nezek Shalim. And that, so you have to get an adjuster, you have to get someone to do an umdina. How much did it go down in value? And then how much Hezek was there for meeting the meat? The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, you pay Chatzi Nezek on the whole thing. The whole thing is a double Mishona. What are you going to do with the Rosh's Tanya? Rosh has a good Tanya. How do you answer the Rosh? The Rosh has a good Tanya. The Rosh is killing the animals abnormal. But once it's dead, eating it is normal. How are you going to explain? How do you answer? L'chaim's right. How do you answer the Rambam? Huh? The Rosh. The Rosh says he split the payment. That's where... But the logic of the Rosh should be correct. Let's say an animal would eat in the same mouthful meat and someone's clothing. So the meat is normal and the clothing is not. What? The pot it swallowed when it was killing it will be Mishana. And the pot later will be that thing. Why shouldn't I think? Kills it and then it eats the meat. Why? Because in time wise, they're next to each other. If the animal came back the next day, Nathan the valley would be murdered. Just because it was all in one shot. So I don't know if this is what you're saying, what? Exactly, it's a good example. Let's say a dog would climb up a tree. Dogs don't climb trees. Let's say a dog would climb a tree, and then on the tree it would eat something that's normal for it to eat. So the Rambam obviously holds that that's Mishana, that's Chatzi Nezek. That's really our clear. But Darsameh, little Narsameh. The matzah is Mishana. Climbing the tree is Mishana. Well, like you're saying, in this case, killing a live sheep to get meat to eat, the eating the meat is taka normal. But the matzav is a matzav hamashona. So the Rambam holds, the way it's mashma from the Gemara on Yutches, by the Tanakh. So the Rambam holds of this Yisai. that even though the hezek is normal, the eating the meat is normal, but since the matzav, the circumstances that you got into, is abnormal, that is labeled keren, because the matzav is what labels it to be keren, even though the eating is normal. It would be a good example if it had a dog were to climb a tree and eat food that it normally eats. It would be the same thing. The Rambam would say, since it's a matzav hamishonim, since the whole circumstances are strange, so even though the ma'aser, the eating is normal, you pay like a keren, because the matzav is a matzav hamishonim. It came, well, I would agree that if it killed it on Sunday and went back and ate it on Monday, it would be separate. But here, it killed it to eat it. But a chicken, you unmask him, you don't separate it. God's head stuck in. Now, once a God's head stuck in, what? One led to the next. Here also, why did it kill the sheep? To eat the meat. So, I talk to be masking. If it killed it on Sunday and Monday it came by and decided to eat it, that would be different. But here was all one. The animal was hungry, it went out to eat, just like if it climbs a tree, it climbed a tree to get to the food. That's a double mishnah. So the Rambam Shita is that if the matzav is mishnah, that's a way to label the hezek according to the matzav. The Rosh apparently disagrees. The Rosh, we'll have to answer the Rosh from the case of Tarnagel, but the Rosh apparently disagrees. The Rosh says, even though the matzav is mishonah, but once you kill the sheep, it's normal to eat it. So then you have to slit it, and the second part becomes shame. Next, third case. Again, a case where the matzav is unusual, and the achila is normal. On Daf Chav Gimel. There's a case where someone locked a dog into his house. And the dog dug its way out. It was chayter, dug its way out of the house. And it went and it ate. And it ate somebody's kikar, it ate someone's cooking. So the Gemara says, Stam dalsa is chatura is eitel kelef. The Gemara says, it's normal for dogs to dig their way out. If they're in a building which has an earthen floor, it's a normal thing. Stam dalsa is chasura is ein eitel kelef. So therefore, it's shame. Zoktar Sameach, 1 minute. What would be if dogs don't normally, let's say dogs normally don't dig their way out of a house. Let's say stam dalsa is einam chaturas. I lock my dog in a house. Well, let's say my house has a rock floor, cement floor. So stam dogs can't get out. What would be the din? If a dog breaks out of my house in a mishunah dig away, I don't know, whatever it is, it picks the lock and it gets out, which is not normal for a dog. And then it goes and eats someone's cake. So what?
Not like 1 minute.
So the Gemara is saying that would be keren. Since the Gemara says stam dalsos achatura is eitel kelef, that dogs normally could get out. So Rashi says that otherwise it would be mishunah. Otherwise it would be mishunah. It would be keren. What's the case? This is a third Gemara. The same type of case. It's not normal for the dog to dig its way out of the house. Once it dug its way out of its house, it went to my neighbor and ate up his steak. That's normal. And yet, Rashi says that would be keren. Rashi learned the Gemara that would be keren. Zoktar Sameach, it's Raya number 3. That if the matzav is mishonah, even if the achila is normal, that gets a label keren. We label things by the whole picture of the matzav. Now here in this third Gemara, the Chayrich found the Rosh. The Rosh holds you don't go according to the matzav. So if you look in the Rush has a different pshat in the Gemara than Rashi. The Rush has a different pshat. The Rush says, why did the Gemara say Stam Dalsei Chaturei saying? What would be if dogs can't get out? So the Rush says, if dogs can't get out, then the owner would be an onus. And oinus is potter by mammon. It wouldn't be karen, it would be regular, it would be shay, but it would be an onus. It would be a zaitig of tor of onus, of a you're an oinus, you locked up your dog well. See, he doesn't learn the Gemara like Rashi. The Rush is l'shitas. But from Rashi, and the Rasameach calls the Shitas a rabbi, we learn this yesod, that if kasi ha-matzav, if according to the circumstances, it's mishona, that makes the mazik be called mishona, even though what happened ultimately was very normal. This is our chiddush for today. Okay, there are a few other gemaras, but we'll get to them. But these are three klara, I think all three are klar. You can pick on one, but you won't be able to knock off all three. From all three rayas together, it's clear that we have such a concept that if the circumstances are mishona, that's enough to label it keren. In other words, we don't look just at the hezek, we look at the whole picture. If the whole picture is mishona, we call it keren. The whole picture is normal, we call it dragon. This is the chiddush. You don't mind. Yeah, but the dog clapping the meat, it can't get to it. What's the difference if it can't get it because it can't climb a tree? Or if it can't get it because it can't get out of the house? Okay, saying a good difference, but I always tell you, if you say a difference, you have to explain why it should make a difference. Why does that difference matter? If lemaisa it's mishuna for it to get dog to food, what's the difference if the dog is in a funny place or the food's in a funny place? Yeah. So here also. Yeah, and you're right. If it climbed out on Sunday and went to eat it on Monday, the Bible in between the new hezek. Whatever it is, the bezel will have to shut up. How much time it is that it's normal for an owner to be away from his animal? I don't know how much it would be called one nice. I don't know. Same thing if an animal climbed a tree. If it climbed a tree one day and it lived there for 2 weeks, and the owner didn't do anything, why? Maybe if there are dogs around, it's normal to hang your meat on the tree. All right, so don't have the tree case. You go to the Kavodach Lemer case. All right, so I think we have a clarious side. Not confusing. Why may be confusing, but the rule is a simple rule that when you designate a mazik, you go according to the whole mazik, not just the hezek itself. Ad kan, take this arsameach, we put it in our back pocket. We start now with sugya, which at first glance has nothing to do with arsameach. Let's learn the Gemara. Zakti Gemara. Tolda the shei mahi. What's a tolda of shei? Again, how do you designate a tolda? A different mazik, which is not mafurish in the pasuk, but has the same characteristic. So we need a characteristic of hanoah, and it's not with its teeth, it's not shei. Either nischachacha b'kaisa lahanasa, easy case. The animal's back was itching, and it rubbed its back against the wall for its hanoah. And the wall fell down. So since the wall fell down, he's a mazik. What mazik? So saying that's shame, because animals rub their when their back itches, they rub their backs and walls. The second case, v'tinfa peiris lahana asa, and a dirty peiris for its pleasure. So the Gemara says that that's a tolda, which is the same as the af. Maishma shen yeshanol azeka mavushin rosh nolecha ani nami yeshanol azeka mavushin rosh nolecha el tolda the shen kishen. So Gemara says that these two toldas are known. The issue here is the taich of tinfa peiris lahana asa. We find two different pshatim Tinfot Peiris Lahana'asa. What does it mean, a dirty Peiris for its Hanah? Rashi says, and the Rashi Nischachacha because Lahana'asa, Vipilasai, I Tinfot Peiris Lahana'asa, that Rashi Shinizgalgala Alehen Kederach Susim Lechamayim. I'm not so clear from Rashi exactly what the case is. What's the case? It rolled in grapes. There were grapes on the floor, other peiris, and it lay down and it rolled itself over in the grapes. What pleasure does an animal get from rolling in grapes? Well, anybody have any idea what Rashi means? Huh? It likes to be rolling in wet stuff, maybe. Alright, could be that. Or maybe it likes to roll the mushy things. What? If it rolls in apples, but it rolled in apples, what pleasure does the animal get from rolling in apples? A massage. Gets a massage. Okay. I'm asking whatever you're going to say. There's some hanah here. In rolling in the Paris. Rashi later says, "Kedushin is galgal aleim pidar susa v'chamayim shekarin bulter." Rashi gives a name to this, the French name. I don't know what it means, bulter. So that's the hana. It enjoys rolling in Paris. I don't know. I guess little kids would do the same thing, no? Little kids see it, they'd scratch it, and your boys wouldn't. So what hanah do they have from it? It's hard to figure. Don't figure. But there's some hanah in rolling in it, so fine. You know, Rashi says it's normal for Susa v'chamayim. So that's the case. So this Rashi's pshat itself would not create a lot of shtiklos tarim. The problem is Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat. If you look on the side of the page, Rabbeinu Chananel, five lines from the bottom, the last words of the line, Tolda the Shay. Call Shieshl Behema no Beze. Kokugoi Niskachicha the Kaisala Hanasa. The Tidfa Paris Lanasa Pirish. Ilule Shaosisats Rachel. Hayosamitsairis. If the animal would not do what it needs to do, that the language the animal was Matal Rey, Matal Meraglayim, the animal urinated on the fruit. And what's the hanah? The hanah is if it had not, toisim it's the eres. So the animal told itself in as a tzar. So Zot Rabbeinu Chananel was second pshat in Tinfot Peiris. What's the pshat? Tinfot Peiris the hanasa, that it was matamei raglayim on the peiris. The peiris are ruined. And since the peiris are ruined, are they totally ruined, the Paris? If you wash the Paris and give it, still, you're not sell it to people if you wash it. But for that, it's ruined. But for Michael Behema, it's still right? You can feed animals. So it's not Michal Yakarna, it's not totally ruined, but its value went down. According to Rashi, that it squashed them, it could be really. Rashi learned it's totally ruined. I don't know, but you could also feed it the animals. But what's wrong with the word tinfa peiris? It's dirty peiris. Yeah, for should say squash peiris by noise. Yes. Well, the truth is, squash grapes normally make wine out.
Yeah, but not when the stalk size is ready.
Why? You squeeze it out and you put it through a sifter and you get wine. And you won't do it if an animal rolled in it. It's done. But, right. You're saying you should say tinfoil. You should have said gargola. So, alright. I mean, that's the problem with Rashi, maybe. Okay, maybe we'll leave it to could be. But what's pshat? What's the problem with Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat? Can anybody tell me? Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat is that the animal had to relieve itself, and it relieved itself on on the pegs. And we're calling that which mazik, we're calling it shame. So in the Tesis Rabbeinu Peretz, he asks, and the Achrayim all ask after him, how's that shame? It didn't had zero hanaf in the Peretz, if the Peretz weren't there, so what if you urinated on the ground? It had zero hanaf in Peretz, you're not going to figure out a way that the animal has more hanaf by being by Osat Zorachah on Peretz and not Peretz. So the Mela, the whole picture here is problematic. However, the Chananel seems to be a problem because what Hanah did it have from the Paris? It didn't have any Hanah from the Paris. Zero Hanah from the Paris. How do you answer that? Shtark Akasha. What's interesting is that Rashi on your Ches Amid Beis, where the Kivega sends you to look at the Rashi there, and Rashi on Yud Ches Amid Beis brings Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat, and he has a kasha on it. He says Rabbeinu Chananel's case that it was matal galalim on food. He says Hani tsrayros nino. Rashi says that would be called tsrayros. Tsrayros is if you do something, you step on a rock and it shoots out and it breaks something. That's a told of regel. So Rashi holds that the animal urinates and it goes on something and does damage, that's regular. Rashi has a totally different kasha. He doesn't ask Rabbeinu Peretz's kasha. He asks a second kasha, that it's thrice. Good. Now, why doesn't he ask Rabbeinu Peretz? Seems like a more pashta kasha. But I'll upon him, we still can need a Peretz. Why does a mahalach to understand the pshat in Rabbeinu Chananel? Why, if an animal urinates on Peretz, why that should be called shame? Why that should be called hanah? The hanah has nothing to do with the Peretz. No, I think it needs a husband. Very, very hard to answer. To find the mahalos. It's very hard to find a mahalach to answer this, to explain it. Let me ask you. Let's say the world would exist that everywhere in the world there's food on the floor. Let's say there's such a matthias. Let's say there would be such a matthias that, whatever, earth is edible. And everywhere you go, there's food on the floor. Okay. Then, when an animal is matal tzrecheh, when it's eisit tzrecheh on food, I would say that's shame. It went. It was nehenna. It was matal. Were you matal? You matal animals don't go to the bathroom. It's matal wherever it is. So that's the normal way of this type of hanah. Then I could understand that it's shame. Lamaisa is nishtazor. The world is not full, it's not food all over the floor. And you're supposed to make sure your animal is not full somewhere else. Here, Basher Husham, the animal was standing over grapes. Whatever reason it was standing there. Once it's standing there, being matul meraglayim is hanasa. It's a hanasa. And being metanif peris with it is hanasa. In the sense that there's no other way for it to be matul meraglayim. The only thing is that this whole matzah is a weird matzah. The whole, what do you mean? The animal is the only place it can be matul meraglayim. Every animal in the world is matul meraglayim all over New York City. They don't go dafka to Paris to be matal meraglayim, they have no pleasure in it. You're right. However, if I understand that when I label a mazik, I take the matzav into account, I take the circumstances and I don't just look at the hezek itself. I look at the whole picture, the whole circumstances, to label it. Then maybe I can understand Rabbeinu Chanan. Rabbeinu Chanan was saying, listen, it's true. You're right. Animals can be matam araglayim. It has nothing to do with peiros. You don't need peiros to be matam araglayim. The law of the peiros has nothing to do with it. But look, if you have an animal that's in such a place, in such a circumstance, if you were to lock an animal into a room, there are only peiros on the floor. If it were to be in such a matzav, so then that's the normal hanah of hatolas araglayim. Under those circumstances, that's normal. Taka emes in the world, it's not normal. But ba'isai matziv, it is normal. It could be, Rabbeinu Chanan holds, that when you look at the whole picture, you have to look at the matziv b'asher usha. In that matziv, the animal has no choice. La'avdil, if a human being would be there, there's no other way to be matziv b'aragai. He doesn't want to damage anything. But he's stuck, he's in tzar. So he'll have to damage, it's the only way to do it. If it's the only way to do it, then that's shame. It's an also. The problem with Rabbeinu Chanan is it's not emes. It's not the only way to be matam araglayim. However, it could be that Rabbeinu Chanan held that you look at the matziv. When you judge what the mazik is, you don't look at the hezek itself. You look at the whole matziv, just like we said earlier. If an animal climbs a tree and it eats, even though the eating is shame, we label it by its matziv, climbing a tree, which the animal did a davar ha-mishonah. So we label it keren. Because to label it, we look at kafi ha-matziv. Here also, now the matziv of an animal standing over peiros is not mishonah. Animals walk, whatever's under them is under them. Once it's in a matziv that it's standing over peiros, and it's matzame raglayim, and it's mitanif to peiros, but Oisei Matziv, Rabbeinu Chanan could be, goes with the same shita that's a Rambam shita, which is that you to label a Matziv, you look at the whole Matziv. And if you look at the whole Matziv, but Oisei Matziv, this is Hanasa. It's true, animals all over the world don't have this Matziv. But what's in animals in that Matziv, that's the Hanasa. To be Matal Tzrachea, it must be Matal Tzrachea on the ground, there's no other way. Once it's matal on the ground, so if the ground is only food, so then that's the hanor of hatolas v'araglayim. There's a clause, just know that the Rambam, the only rishon that the Rambam is meshubit to is Rabbeinu Chanan. The clause other than the Rambam didn't really care about any of the other rishonim. The Rambam didn't live, the Balei Tosis, the Baal Amor, they were all in France. The Rambam was... Tosis in a few places of Shas close to the Rambam, very rarely. The Rambam, his only shibu that he held himself mishubit to was always Rabbeinu Chanan shita. And if, I'm not saying it's the only way to learn Rabbeinu Chanan, but we're stuck for a pshat, if this is Rabbeinu Chanan's Yisai, then with 12, like Dor Sameach said, that this is shita Sarapa. Yeah.
Don't you say why it's not Ken? I can say that in such a case it's not mishubit. But to say that the Hanor,
yeah, I'm saying that I know it's tint for Paris because I'm telling you that when there's such a mitzias, that's the only way to be matam araglayim. The only way to be matam araglayim is to be matan of Paris. So if the animal could think, that's what its question would be.
You put something underneath,
it's not something that. How could the animal put something underneath?
The bow
could put something underneath. We're not talking about the bow. If you go to Cheshvan of the Baal, and it's Bishas Arabim, so the Baal has no achrayas. The Baal doesn't, the Baal can let it walk, it's Derech Halichasa. The Baal has no achrayas that it might stand over Paris. That's fine, that it's shame and red or whatever it is. The issue is whether I should label that shame because there's no anor from the Paris. Ted says, you're right, there's no anor from the Paris in the sense that the Paris didn't give him a physical anor. But if the only way to be matarag meraglayim is to be matanav peiros, then that's the hanah that calls meraglayim. Now, normally there are many other ways to be matar meraglayim. For this animal, ba'isay matziv, this was the way. Ba'isay matziv could be that. That's why.
Right.
I would agree with you that if the Gemara said it's regal, if Rabbi Chanan said it's regal, I'd be much more comfortable. I agree with you. Once Rabbi Chanan said it's shame, I'm stuck. I wouldn't learn this way if not that I have a Rabbi Chanan that we have to explain. We have to put some sense into it. We have to make a new shita here. Rabbi Chanan shita, that you don't have enough in the Guf Hadover, it's called shame. What's the logic to it? What's the logic it should be called shame? So we have to get some mahalach. We have to somehow attach the katos meraglayim is somehow tied into the tin for payers. Once I know that there's such a shita in the Rambam to label things based on the matziv, it could well be that that's how Rabbeinu Chanan looked at it. To label things based on the matziv basher husham. Once an animal is there, that's the only way to be matzah meraglayim. If that would be the only way, the whole world, if in the veld, it would be impossible to be matzah meraglayim without ruining something, then that would be part and parcel of the Hanoah Vatos Meraglayim. That would be called Hanasa. Now, in the world, there are other ways of doing it. But not in the world of this animal. This animal, Basha Usham, there's no other way. For this animal, Tinfa Peiris is tied to it. Akoponim, this is the a possible explanation of Rabbeinu Chanan. Everyone tries very hard to answer Rabbeinu Chanan. It's a very difficult shita. And take or leave in my explanation, but Rabbeinu Chanan's shita needs an explanation. I saw printed B'Shem the Garnat. I didn't find it in the Garnat. He asked that Tifa Peiris should only be a grama. Because all you have to do is wash it off. What do you have to do? Tin for payrus. The apples. The animal urinated on the apples. What are you going to do? You scrub it off and finished. So he answered, it's talking about such a stain that you can't take off. You can't wash it off. What do you think? I would say, every atolos meraglayim you can't take off. I would think if an animal is matal meraglayim on food, even if you scrub it and you send it to a lab and there's nothing on it, and if you sell it as normal food, I would think you're a ganesh. Because most normal human beings are mayis in it. It's probably muktzah on Shabbos, muktzah machmas mias. Halach is that something that you're matal meraglayim on is muktzah machmas mias. Even though you can ask me what's so terrible, but that's the way humans are. So his car, what? If you think you're allowed to do that? They don't, I wouldn't buy food from you if you hold that way. Huh? So you should be allowed to sell it? You think so? You think so?
You have to show me.
The Gemara says it could be chayzer it. Let's take a look. There was a case a number of years ago. One of the big ice cream companies in the East Coast got fined because there were rodent parts in the ice cream. Got fined. So they issued a statement, very foolish statement. They issued a statement saying, reassuring the public, that there's no health hazard, there's nothing dangerous about it. If anything, it has vitamins, there's nothing poisonous about it. They reassured the people. So it was a scandal. That's how you answer. That having it is, there's nothing unhealthy about it. You don't know you're eating it, so it's mushed into your ice cream. What's the difference? Maybe. But, you know, it's a silly thing. Lamaisa. People don't want to eat it. So I think that the pshat and tin for peiros, even if you'll say you could wash it off, it's still, you can't wash it off. Because that's a chmir that if peiros are tin for, I would think that you, I don't think you're, I don't know, I think you're not allowed to sell it Even though if the person doesn't know, it's not going to hurt him. Maybe you're right. Maybe. I think so. What do you think? If you wash up the papers and they're perfectly clean, you could sell it as normal? And the person himself probably would never eat it. Now let's see another. Let's see, Regel told her the Regel. Kikamar Papa told her the Regel. Told her the Regel. Mayhi Hezeka Begufa Derech Ilucha B'Saira Derech Ilucha B'Shlif Shalaya B'Pumbiya Shabepia B'Zuk Shabetzavar. What is this? These are all the same things. The animals walking down the street. Animals. Couldn't care less if something's in the way, it keeps on walking. That's normal. So regal is, it stepped on something. Tolda is, that the saddle that was on it rubbed against something. The bundle that was on it, the bit that was in its mouth, the bell that was hanging from its neck, all these things banged against something. That's a tolda. And maishna regal, hezekamati manchal shirasna alecha, aninami zekamati manchal shirasna alecha, tolda the regal, correct. So Gemara says, that shlish shalal, anything on the animal, when the animal walks down the street, and it's mazik to get, it's mazik through the shlish shalal, that is regel. As I state on the Gemara. The har on this Gemara, which it's in the Chiddushim of Shlaimai, it's also quoted from the Chiddushim of Rav Elazar Gordon. I saw it quoted in the Beis Lechem Yehuda. The Chazon Ish also asked the Kasha, Simin Yud Aleph, Ois Yud Aleph. They all ask the following Kasha on this Gemara. We come back to a Gemara on Dav Vav. We had a Gemara on Dav Vav, which I mentioned a few times. I told you, you better know the Gemara. If you put Avnei Sakina Masai Barosh Gagai, if you put something on your roof, and a normal wind blows it down, and it's Mazik Derech Hilucha on the way down, which Mazik is it? Eish. Down, the wind, that the Gemara says, Mazik on the way down, it's Eish. After it lands, that's Sifri. Way down, it's Eish. What's Eish? I put something somewhere where it's a Rach Mitzuya for it to go and to be Mazik. I have an animal. I took my Avnei Sakina Masai, I took my bundle, I put it on the back of the animal. The animal walks down the street, and this bundle, which is apparently sticking out on the side, rubs against somebody's wagon and it breaks the wagon. Gemara says that's regel, told her the regel, what's the halacha? You're potter b'shusaram. As I state in the Gemara we just learned. So Frederick Schleimer, regel? Taka regel is potter b'shusaram. Why isn't it also eish? What's eish? I put Avnei Sakina Masoi on my roof, where a ruach mitzuya will cause it to fly into something. Same thing, the same thing here. I put Avnei Sakina Masai on the back of an animal, and it's a Dover Motsui that'll know to now be Mazik. Why is that not? Why is that not the Mazik of Eish also? And Eish is Chayiv Mishusarabim, so I should be Chayiv. This is the Kasha that they both ask. Like a tree that comes down, but there's a difference. Tree, if I have a tree and it falls down, the reason I'm potter is because I'm an oinus. Because I don't have a good tree, it normally falls down. If I would know that my tree, I was warned that this tree is a bad tree and I have to take it away, then in Hokinani, when it falls down, it's mazik derech ilul, so it would be ash. I shouldn't say it would be Eish. It would totally, if Kayach Acha Murad Bai, it's not Kayach Acha, then we said it's not Eish. But any time your object is Mazik with Kayach Acha Murad Bai, that's Eish. So all these Gedolim ask that this should be Eish. That this, it should be, it's Regel, it's also Eish. Regel is part of Bishas Rav, let's be Chayiv and Malt Eish. Why should it be bottled to the animal? Should it be part of the Gufa to the animal? What does that mean? It's part of... You have to explain why it should be bottled. Because the animal itself didn't stick out to the side and do damage. Bundle, I put my bundle in a place where Rav Mitzuya is going to cause it to do damage. The animal is a Rav Mitzuya. Rav Mitzuya means a normal thing. It's a normal thing. So you're right, but you have to figure out the difference, why an animal should be different. So I'd like you to do for tomorrow. You can look at all the terutzim. Rav Shlaima has a very nice teretz. And the Laza Gordon, you don't have to look there. All the malachtim, all the Likud Svarim bring it, and the Beis Lachem Yehuda brings it, and Sefer David, and the Ma'am HaKaimis, the Sefer bring it. However, in the Kunshus HaShiurim, in Simin Aleph, which is what I spoke at the beginning of the year, where he says his idea of Shem Mazik, which is the insight we're going to have again and again, he has there an easy piece, I think it's Ozayin. In Ozayin, there's one short paragraph where he answers it, Kefi his klal. It's very glad the way he answers it. I'd like you to see it for tomorrow, because you should be kind of that idea. Tomorrow, we're going to spend most of the day on Bar Tes and Bar Yud. Ishtako Torah on Bar Tes and Bar Yud is in the Chedushei Arim Rabbi Yalev, Simin Nun Aleph. That's for tomorrow. By the end of tomorrow, we'll turn the page in Yitzhashem. We'll finish the Sugya.